Today is Friday, May 29th. You're listening to the GPP Shareholder Activism and Corporate Governance Newsletter. Exxon trades Jersey Turnpike for Route 66. As Lone Star victory shows rise of corporate Texas and waning influence of proxy advisors. ExxonMobil shareholders' resounding approval of the oil giant's move to incorporate in Texas underscores that they bypass the proxy advisors' recommendations and have no issues with Texas and its emerging business jurisprudence. At its annual meeting on Wednesday, Exxon won decisively with roughly 71.3% of the vote in favor. Both ISS and Glass Lewis recommended against the redomicile. This comes 1 week after SpaceX filed its S-1 with Texas as its state of incorporation. The company said the move, which will align the company's incorporation with its headquarters, is because of the state's business environment. CEO Darren Woods went a step further, saying that the board believes that kind of familiarity will lead to more reasonable, productive decisions from Texas officials and citizens, which is critical for the long-term success of the company. Shane Goodwin, executive director of the SMU Corporate Governance Initiative, said on LinkedIn, "The vote is not the end of the debate. It is the beginning of the next phase. Texas now has an opportunity to prove that corporate law competition can be grounded in transparency, predictability, and investor confidence, not merely in labels or assumptions about state law." Exxon also won a second vote that saw investors reject a proposal from the New York City Comptroller's Office to offer more automatic voting options in the company's retail investor voting program. The proposal also drew a rebuke from Wood, who called the offer a serial proponent with a proposal that doesn't pass the common sense test. Speaking of chapters closing, Lululemon and founder Chip Wilson entered into a cooperation agreement to end an increasing personal and contentious proxy fight. After a back and forth that almost saw the settlement fall to the wayside, Wilson got two of his board nominees, Mark Maurer from On, Laura Gentile from ESPN, plus a third director by October, in exchange for not bad-mouthing the company for 18 months. Now they need to agree on how to sell more athleisure. In activism news, Reuters reports that Synopsys reaches settlement with Elliott, says Jesse Cohn to join board. Synopsys agreed to add Cohn to its board after the activists pushed for margin improvements, with a chip design software maker's stock rising about 20% since Elliott's involvement became public. Bloomberg reports that activist Ancora pushes H.B. Fuller to drop bid for UK's AMs. Ancora is urging the adhesives maker to abandon its takeover bid for Advanced Medical Solutions, calling the attempted push into healthcare risky and quasi-transformational. According to the Wall Street Journal, Universal Music shareholder deals blow to Bill Ackman's $65 billion bid. Bellore Group CEO Cyril Bellore, an integral Universal shareholder with 40% of voting rights, is claiming that Pershing Square's offer will not bring a positive impact, so any offer from Ackman should be rejected. In deals news this week, the Wall Street Journal reports that AkzoNobel shares jump after $14.5 billion Nippon Paint, Sherwin-Williams bid. In the latest in a years-long saga, the Dutch paint maker rejected a takeover proposal from rivals Nippon Paint and Sherwin-Williams, committing to its all-stock merger with Axalta Coating Systems. Bloomberg reports that CAARS agrees to be taken over by Fertitta in $5.7 billion deal. After some back and forth, Tillman Fertitta sealed his takeover Caesars, a 49% premium for the Las Vegas mainstay, although the deal includes a go-shop period until July 11. Financial Times reports that Uber weighs higher bid for Delivery Hero after €11.50 billion offer rebuffed, Uber's board met to discuss, raising its offer after a major shareholder rebuffed the 38 per share approach, with some shareholders seeking a price above €40 per share. DoorDash has also been circling the German food delivery group but hasn't purchased any shares. Meanwhile, the Financial Times reports Jamie Dimon says JP Morgan could spend up to $20 billion on a new acquisition. Dimon said the Trump administration's lighter regulatory approach has freed $40 to $50 billion in excess capital, and while noting that prices are high, flagged that M&A activity is one of the best years the bank has had in many years. On to corporate governance. The A16Z show, Mark Rowan on private markets, software repricing, and capital allocation. The CEO and co-founder of Apollo Global Management joins host David Haber of venture firm Andreessen Horowitz for a wide-ranging conversation on leadership, the rise and future of the private credit and the global economy. The latest SEC reforms this week on registered offerings and reporting frameworks. In the SEC's latest attempts to modernize and expand access to the public capital markets, they proposed a broad package of amendments to the Securities Act of 1933. Our friends at Wachtell, Simpson Thatcher, Sidley, and Fried Frank also discuss these changes and what they could mean for the market moving forward. Financial Times: BP removes chair Albert Manifold after claims of bullying. the oil giant announced it would remove its board chairman, who subsequently pushed back, effective immediately after internal allegations about his behavior came to light. Bloomberg's Javier Blas argues that despite the sudden leadership change, BP remains in a strong position and pointed to operational changes driven by hedge funds in the stock like Elliott. Financial Times, opinion, SpaceX to drive a Cybertruck through corporate governance norms. After thoroughly combing through SpaceX's prospectus filing form last week, Sujeet Indap discusses the myriad ways the company's governance structure is designed to give more power and freedom to CEO Elon Musk and why the company does not seem very interested in fully-fledged shareholder democracy. In the IPO news, CNBC Centerview's Blair Efron on state of M&A, IPO pipeline, and impact of AI. The Centerview Partners co-founder joined Squawk Box to discuss the deal-making and IPO landscape, including whether the three major upcoming IPOs of SpaceX, OpenAI, and Anthropic could create an additional tailwind effect for equity markets. Watch here. Barron's, this year's biggest quantum IPO is coming. Quantinuum, an aptly named quantum computing company backed by Honeywell, officially set terms for its upcoming IPO this week, looking to go public with a potential $13 billion valuation. Read more, from our desk to yours. Last week, we braved the cold weather of Memorial Day weekend to go to one of our favorite restaurants, Chambers in Tribeca, for a one-of-a-kind experience. Chambers, a farm-to-table wine restaurant that opened in 2022, is the evolution of Racine's NY that showcases the best of seasonal cooking in NYC combined with an amazing wine program orchestrated by award-winning sommelier Pascaline Lepeltier. While the rotating menu always offers delightful surprises, this trip was unique. A special dinner featured 12 wines across four courses and was a part of Canarian wine producer Carmelo Peña Santana's tour of the United States. Carmelo founded the Bien de Altura Winery in 2017 to showcase the wines of Gran Canaria. To best understand the differences between them, each course was accompanied by three wines. The first two courses each consisted of two single vineyard cuvées, Tidao and Sansofi, along with a blend, Equin, from two separate years to showcase the variety of flavors from year to year and the difference altitude can make, as the vineyard is on a sloped mountain. The later courses mainly featured wines from a multinational collaborative project called El Trimento that features wines from Gran Canaria, mainland Spain, Portugal, and Switzerland. There was even a special treat at the end, as one of the winemakers he collaborates with brought a bottle of 2003 Barros Colheita Port that really capped off the experience. Beyond the wine, there was the food, which was more than ready to meet the moment. In fact, executive chef Jonathan Karras came out to explain that the courses had been slightly modified to best pair with the wines. We started with a potato and cucumber salad with breadcrumbs before moving into a squid ink risotto with shrimp. Our main course was a snow dance chicken with mushrooms and white asparagus before a lovely dessert of three cheeses. All of the food was fantastic, and we recommend it before the menu shifts. In the meantime, keep an eye out for their next wine dinner. Open tabs. The Wine Economist, $5 Napa Cab. Nota Bene for May 2026. Bloomberg Oddlots, what it takes to run one of London's most popular pubs. Financial Times, Sotheby's puts $30 M&N estimate on Tyrannosaurus Rex named Gus. BBC AI cameras could help improve zoo animals' welfare. ESPN, New York Knicks return to NBA Finals prompts trip back to 1999. In upcoming events. June 6 to 9, NIRI Annual Conference, Chicago, IL, June 10 to 11. FT, Outstanding Directors Exchange, New York, NY, June 18 to 20. Rome Conference on AI, Ethics, and the Future of Governance, Rome, Italy. Have a great weekend, GPP team.